Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we consider the words of our Lord Jesus, "Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you." But there is not much call for forgiveness in the world today, nor to give freely out of love, nor to refrain from God's vocation as judge. Today, everyone's a judge and quick to condemn their neighbor. Mercy, compassion that results in acts of love for the neighbor in need is in short supply today. Everybody looking out for themselves. Where is Joseph, forgiving Joseph, looking for his brothers today? Where is Joseph who will not dare to act in the place of God? He's not to be seen in today's academic elite, political elite, or celebrity elite. He's hard to find among us common folk. And the devil certainly desires Christians to mistreat and scandalize each other. It's so easy to do. Thus, the Apostle Paul tells us that the creation groans. The selfish lack of love or care for others, the speedy unwillingness to not speak with civility to those one perceives as your enemies, it's all a sign, among many, that the world decays. It's no surprise because the creation has been subjected to futility by God. Cursed is the ground, thorns and thistles infest it, childbirth is cursed, pain accompanies it, the woman's desire is for her husband's authority and place, and of course, we're all born with inborn lust and the desire to sin inherited from our first parents. But the groaning and suffering of birth pains the apostle describes does lead somewhere. What we plot and scheme and hatch as evil against our brother, God will plot and scheme to our good. The child that comes after the pain of childbirth must be born. There is joy for the mother after she gives birth. For us, the new creation that God prepares must be delivered. We hope for it. It's promised. This new and better creation that's coming, that far-off country that we cannot yet see, our true homeland that's out there, we must wait for it with patience and endure the ugliness of this pit for the beauty of that which is coming. Now, while we wait and suffer the crosses of this world and hope for the next, we listen to our Lord, who was saying to his disciples, before our gospel reading begins, "Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil." What greater glory can come to us poor mortals than to resemble the Most High so as to be his sons? Sons of the Most High, kind like him to the ungrateful and the evil, seeking to love first and thus forgive where none is deserved, seeking to give and give some more, looking for an unseen but promised reward. There was a person in the local newspaper that became famous for forgiving. Eva Moses Kaur, spelled K-O-R. She died on July 4th, 2019, age 85, in Krakow, Poland. She was in Poland because she was on her annual trip to Auschwitz. Those of you who live here in Terre Haute know Mrs. Kaur. as the Holocaust survivor who founded in 1995 the local Candles Holocaust Museum and Education Center. Candles is an acronym I found out from Mrs. Kaur's obituary for Children of Auschwitz Nazi Deadly Lab Experiments Survivors. Mrs. Kaur and her identical twin sister were two of some 3,000 children subjected to horrific medical experiments on twins, supervised by the evil Nazi Dr. Joseph Mengele, the so-called Angel of Death. These two girls survived this horror and eventually ended up in Israel. And finally, in the 1960s, Mrs. Kaur married an American Holocaust survivor and moved here to Terre Haute. And in the 1970s, she shared her story on NBC television on a series on the Holocaust and led efforts to locate other survivors of Mengele's experiments and to expose the truth about what happened. What grabbed my attention was the headline over Mrs. Kaur's obituary in the local newspaper. Eva Kaur, Holocaust survivor, forgiveness advocate. Forgiveness advocate. In 1995, she announced that she had decided to forgive Joseph Mengele and the Nazis. Through forgiveness, says the obituary, she discovered that she had regained power over her own life. The burden of victimhood she had carried for 50 years was finally lifted. And further, it states, she urged her listeners to, quote, never give up, be kind, forgive, and choose to make the world a better place every day. She wanted to impart to all people the value of kindness, perseverance, and belief in their own self-worth. End quote. Now, Mrs. Kaur, I think, is admirable for forgiving her bitter enemies. Bitter enemies who showed no mercy or compassion to her or her sister. Wicked men who had instantly stripped them of their parents and other family members one day outside that concentration camp. And then performed gruesome experiments on their bodies. To publicly forgive such evil is, we can say, a sure glimpse, a glimpse of the mercy that the Heavenly Father shows and that Jesus calls his disciples to. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Sadly, reading further in her obituary, there was no mention of anything spiritual or religious. Not one mention of faith or scripture. Not one rabbi mentioned if she was Jewish still. Not one minister if she had become a Christian. Only a funeral and a visitation at the funeral home, a burial, and two memorial services in August at the Tilson Auditorium and Clues Hall in Indy. I just cannot know what was in Mrs. Kaur's heart, how she came to be a forgiveness advocate in such a way. Only God knows that. There is a big difference between the world's forgiveness and the Father's. Good-intentioned people in the world forgive others or advocate for forgiveness, expecting some kind of return on their investment, that they are striving to make the world a better place, or that they forgive their enemies to refind a lost self-worth or unburden themselves from continuing to become someone else's victim. But meanwhile, today, from God's holy word, we learn that our Heavenly Father, he's after a better place too. But not just to make the current creation brighter. This creation is going away. No, he wants to bring about something new and better. The coming of Christ had been promised from the time of the fall to redeem us from the futility of this cursed world and our sinful flesh. And if not for the promise of the Father, this world would have long since been destroyed. The groaning of this creation would indeed have long ago led to its destruction. All mercy that the Father shows is for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. So I would love for the newspapers and such to tell us about some heavenly forgiveness advocates. Maybe we need to get out there and tell people about the heavenly forgiveness advocate, the one that brings about true hope for tomorrow, who brings about the glory of God, our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Glory that far outweighs the sufferings of this present time. The first forgiveness advocate from heaven is, of course, our dear Savior, the one who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of his truth, the one mediator or advocate between God and men, the man who gave himself as the ransom for all. He is the priest forever before the Father, who always lives to make intercession for sinners like you and me, and so is able to save them to the uttermost. Jesus appears before the Father with his own blood, advocating for your forgiveness for the sake of his blood. If anyone does sin, St. John tells us, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the propitiation for our sins, for the sins of the whole world. That's great and true forgiveness from an advocate who is the man who gave his life and shed his blood for his brother's sake freely, without you asking for it, so that you might be called sons of the Most High with him. There is a second heavenly forgiveness advocate in our lives as Christians. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things, bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you, says Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings us Christ's forgiveness in his holy church. And through the preaching and teaching of Jesus' word, he drives us forward where our flesh is unwilling and weak. Today we hear that we are to practice forgiveness of even our enemies, that we are forbidden to set ourselves up as judges of other men by glorying in ourselves and despising others. And every day we all know how it would feel so good, wouldn't it, to unleash judgment and condemnation upon those who hurt and harm, abuse and slander, bring about shame and cross-bearing upon us and those we love. But we are to leave judgment to him who judges righteously. That's why we sang, Lord, let me win my foes with kindly words and actions. And let me find good friends for counsel and correction. And help me, as you have taught, to love both great and small, and by your Spirit's might, to live in peace. To live in peace with all. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians. Your faith in Christ flourishing out in lives of service and mercy for neighbors who do not always deserve it. To forgive the unforgivable. To give to those who will never, ever, ever give back. The reward for this work is given for the sake of Christ's merit. The measure God gives you is glimpsed now in your daily bread that he gives so freely, and in the forgiveness that he freely reckons to you for Jesus' sake from this altar. But at the end of time, when that new creation comes forth and is unleashed, this will overflow into your lap, and for all eternity, God will not hold back. I encourage you, reckon with the apostle and with Joseph and with your Lord that the sufferings of this present time are not even minutely close to outweighing the glory that is to be revealed in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.